Okay. Hallelujah. Let's go to Psalm 112, verse 1. Psalm 112, verse 1. How happy is anyone who fears Adonai, who greatly delights in his mitzvot. Again, that word happy is also blessed. Go to Psalm 128, 1. How happy or blessed is everyone who fears Adonai, who lives by his ways. And then go to Matthew 5. We're going to read verses 1 to 12. Matthew 5, verses 1 to 12. Hallelujah. Seeing the crowds, Yeshua walked up the hill and he sat down. His Talmudim came to him and he began to speak, and this is what he taught them. How blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. How blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. How blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the land. How blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. How blessed are those who show mercy, for they will be shown mercy. How blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. How blessed are those who make peace, for they will be called the sons of God. How blessed are those who are persecuted because they pursue righteousness, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. And then go to verse 17. Don't think that I have come to abolish the Torah or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to complete. Yes, indeed, I tell you that until heaven and earth pass away, not so much as a yud or a stroke will pass from the Torah, not until everything that must happen has happened. So whoever disobeys the least of these mitzvot and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. I just want to read a note here regarding this. These verses provide crucial insight into Yeshua's understanding of Torah and its meaning. Here he is not canceling the Torah. Instead, he is stating that he came to interpret it correctly. Romans 10:4 is misinterpreted by many, making Yeshua's words in Matthew 5 difficult to understand. Some teach that his use of the words telos, often translated fulfill, means that his life or perhaps his death meant the termination or end of the law. Yet as David Stern notes, an error made by all major English versions and by most commentators, and one with profound anti-Semitic implications, even when none are intended, is the rendering of the Greek word telos as end in the sense of termination. Yet telos is used 42 times in the New Testament, but only 5 times is it translated finish, cessation, or termination. In all other cases, telos is understood as outcome, result, or consummation. Moreover, the statement that Yeshua did not come to abolish the Torah is a first century rabbinic idiom. To abolish the Torah meant to misinterpret it, not cancel it. Second, Yeshua's expression to complete Torah meant that he came to teach it correctly. David Friedman reinforces this. Yeshua is here stating that it is not his intention to teach the Torah incorrectly, but quite the opposite, to affirm its fullness and truth by teaching all of it in a way that is true to its intended meaning. Hallelujah. So again, Simchat Torah is, again, rejoicing in the Torah, but we don't rejoice in the Torah once a year. We should be rejoicing in his instructions every day. Hallelujah, for it's our strength, our joy, our comfort. We are so privileged to own a Bible in this country. In fact, most of us have more than one. I know I do, But there's countries where they're not allowed to own a Bible. I remember years ago when I was first saved, I used to be involved with Voice of the Martyrs, Brother Andrews, where they would smuggle portions of scripture into Russia And what they would do is they would send you portions of scriptures and addresses of people in Russia that you would mail it to. And they in turn would share these scriptures with one another because they couldn't have a Bible. You know, again, we are so blessed to have this word, be able to study it. And again, if you study Psalm 119, there's no way you can come to the conclusion that his Torah has been done away with, that his Torah is legalism, that his Torah is a curse. That is misinterpretation of scripture. And that's how the enemy twists scripture and twists thinking. And Psalm 119, again, is a praise to his Torah. It's a beautiful psalm. And again, there's a lot of notes in here where you can do even a deeper study. I have, again, a lot of extra notes here because the more I was studying it, the more I was like writing, getting, you know, revelation on it. So let's go on. Verse 2, how happy are those who observe his instructions. Again, happiness comes from observing his instructions, edot, testimonies, revelation of God's righteousness, who seek him wholeheartedly. They do nothing wrong but live by his ways. A righteous person, a person who loves God, is going to live by his ways daily, one day at a time. Again, you lay down your precepts, pikudim, guidelines for the redeemed. The Torah is his guidelines for us on how to live and walk. May my ways be studied in observing your laws, chok, ordinance, decrees, customs. James 1:25. Let's look at James 1:25 real quick. Hallelujah. Give me a second to get there. Hallelujah. But if a person looks closely into the perfect Torah, which gives freedom and continues, becoming not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work it requires, then he will be blessed in what he does. So God doesn't just expect us to read it, but he expects us to do it. Then verse 6, then I will not be put to shame, since I have fixed my sight on all your mitzvot, God's commands. I thank you with sincere heart as I learn your righteous rulings, Mishpat. I will observe your laws. Don't completely abandon me. So again, this first section really sets the tone as we go through, again, the rest of the Psalm 119. I'm not going to go verse by verse, but I highlighted key verses that I believe are speaking to us. Again, we need to look at this as this is personal. This is God speaking to me. The second section, beginning with verse 9, begins with the letter Bet. Bet, the symbol of Bet is that of a house. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, of the Ruach HaKodesh. We are the house that he lives in. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 6, 14 to 18. You know, it just amazes me that as believers, this place should be packed with people. If we are hungering for his word, you know, if we want to hear what his word says, we are so privileged. You know, I know a lot of people are in fear, you know, but, you know, God is, again, you don't think that he's going to protect his people who are coming in to hear the word? Do we hunger for the word? Do we thirst for that word? Amen. 2 Corinthians, again, 6, 14 to 18. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. I'm reading from New American Standard. Do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness and lawlessness, or that's really Torahlessness, those that do not obey his word? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Messiah with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says Yahweh, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters to me, says Yahweh Zevaot. So again, the word ha is, or how, again begins with the bait, ma, how. How can a man keep his way pure? How can we keep our house, this temple, pure? By guarding it according to your word. So here again is the answer to the how. I seek you with all my heart. Don't let me stray from your mitzvot. Again, we have to seek him with all our heart. We have to make sure that we don't stray from his mitzvot, his teachings. We are to treasure his word in our heart so that we won't sin against him. We won't sin against the word. If you don't know the word, it's good. The less you know the word, the easier it is for you to sin and make excuses that you can do this, that you can do what is opposite the word, because you don't know what the word says. As we hide the word in our heart, that word, if we make a step, if we do anything that's contrary to the word, the Ruach HaKodesh is never going to be in disagreement with the word. And he's going to warn you, nope, that is not the way, that is not the path you are to go. Praise God for the Ruach HaKodesh, but also we have the responsibility to put that word in our heart, to seek him with all our heart. We say that every week in the Shema, in the V'ahavta, that we are going to seek him with our whole heart, that we treasure your word in our heart so that we won't, again, sin against you. Verse 13, we are to proclaim with our mouth all the rulings you have spoken. Again, we are to proclaim. The words should be, the more word you have in your heart, the more word is going to come out of your mouth. We are to proclaim his word to those around us. We are to speak forth his word. We are to rejoice in the way, again, that we're direct in the path of your instruction more than any kind of wealth. We are to meditate on your precepts, which are, again, guidelines for the redeemed, and keep our eyes on your ways. Again, this is things that we have to do. And when we do this, again, our temple, we are sanctifying ourselves. We are keeping our eyes on the right things. Verse 17. Well, verse 16. I will find my delight in your regulations. I will not forget your word. Again, the psalmist, the one who wrote this, the word wasn't a curse. The word wasn't some prison. The word was a delight, because they knew within the word were the blessings that God had for his people. They were his protection. They were his fences in a world that was full of sin and paganism. Next section, Psalm 119, 17 to 24, begins with the Hebrew letter gamel. It means to carry, lift up. It also is it's a picture of a camel. A camel is something that carries and lifts up. Deal gamal, to treat a person generously with your servant. Then I will live and observe your word. So he's saying the word gamal, he's saying, treat me generously, Father, so I may live and observe your word. The word lifts us up. Verse 18, open my eyes so that I will see wonders from your Torah. God wants to speak to us every day from his word. How many times when you studied the word, all of a sudden a verse just jumps out at you? And your heart just like beats, and you just know that it's God speaking to you and encouraging you. This word is alive. The word says it's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It brings correction. It brings instructions in righteousness. Verse 24, also your instructions are my delight. They are my counselors. And also, he mentions in verse 19, though I am just a wanderer on the earth. Again, Hebrews 13:14 speaks about all those who came before us that realized that they were foreigners and aliens in this world. You know, the Brit Hadashah says, we are in the world, but not of it. We are here because we have a job to do. We are here because God has given us the authority upon this earth to bring forth his word, to pray for people, to see them redeemed, to see them set free. By speaking forth that word, he gave us, that's our assignment. The next section, Psalm 119. Well, you know, I just want to read one more thing here. Let's go to Psalm 19, verse 7 to 11. And I have so many side notes written here. Sometimes I have to look because I know they're important because the Ruach was bringing them to me as I was studying more. Psalm 19, 1 to 11. The heavens declare the glory of God. The dome of the sky speaks the works of his hands. Every day it utters speech. Every night it reveals knowledge. Without speech, without a word, without their voices being heard. Their line goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he places a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from the bridal chamber, with delights like an athlete to run his race. It rises on one side of the sky and circles around to the other side, and nothing escapes its heat. The Torah of Adonai is perfect, restoring the inner person. The instruction of Adonai is sure, making wise the thoughtless. The precepts of Adonai are right, rejoicing the heart. The mitzvah of Adonai is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of Adonai is clean, enduring forever. The rulings of Adonai are true, they are righteous altogether. More desirable than gold, than much fine gold. Also sweeter than honey or drippings from the honeycomb. Through them your servant is warned, and in obeying them is great reward. King David teaches that Torah is perfect, meant to display both God's revealed will and aspects of his divine nature. Torah is not just a list of rules that one must follow, for as pure light it emanates from God himself and is given with both precision and authority. Fear and reverence are the correct response to God's holy word. Verse 9 explains that the precepts of God are considered right, just as a judicial decision is right. It stands fast and cannot be shaken. Since Torah contains loving instructions, it is perfect. Through it, the obedient are restored, made wise, given reason for rejoicing, and provided enlightenment beyond this world. In considering the power and relevance of Torah, Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel states that every letter, every word, whether expanded or limiting a subject, is intended to teach a lesson. Each idiom instructs and clarifies. There is no form here, all its contents, all its instruction. Just as heaven is loftier than earth, so the language of Torah is loftier than the language of human beings. Where humanity often seeks to assist Adonai in his instruction, Israel's sage Ibn Ezra comments on this passage. The Lord has incorporated and deposited into every soul of man a tendency to appreciate the importance of these divine orders and the intellect to naturally and instinctively understand their significance. It is for this reason that God provides Torah, his perpetual blessing, to his people. Psalm 119, verse 25 to 32. Again, I'm only keying in on certain verses here. This begins with the Hebrew letter Dalet. Again, you can only see that in the Hebrew. In your English translations, you're not going to see it. You have to look to the Hebrew, and you'll see the beginning of this verse. Every verse begins with the Dalet. The Dalet is symbolic of tent, door, or pathway. So here he's saying, I lay prostrate, Dabak, cling, adhere, cleave in the dust, revive me in keeping with your word. Verse 30, I choose the way of trust. I set your rulings before me. Again, that word trust is imuna, faith, trusting his word. Why? Because his word is true. I cling to your instruction, Adonai. Don't let me be put to shame. I run the way of your mitzvot, for you have broadened my understanding. Again, we need to choose trust. We need to cling to his instructions. We need to run the way of his mitzvot. We see in John 14, 6 that Yeshua refers to him as the door, that no one comes to the Father except through him. He is the door. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the living Torah. Psalm 119, 33 to 40, begins with the Hebrew letter He. He, it's like a breath, ha. Behold, that's symbolic of to behold or reveal. Here he says, teach me, yara, to lay, which means that word yara means to lay, to throw, to point, or shoot towards a mark. So in other words, show me your way, Adonai, the way of your laws. Keeping them will be its own reward for me. Again, Yeshua says in Hebrews 10:7, in the volume of the book, it is written of him. He is all through the Torah. He is all through the Torah and the prophets. He's revealed in the scriptures. 34, give me understanding, then I will keep your Torah. I will observe it with all my heart. Again, every time we approach the word, every time we approach study, we need to pray, Father, give me understanding as I am reading your word. Enlighten me, show me, give me that revelation in your word that I need. I will observe it again with all my heart. Guide me on the path of your mitzvot, for I take pleasure in it. Again, pleasure what? In doing his will. Verse 36, bend my heart toward your instruction and not towards selfish gain. So in other words, our first love, our first desire is to learn from him. And yes, the blessing, we're not to seek the blessings, we are to seek him. When we seek him, the blessings come. We can't, again, we can't come before God with wrong motives. And that includes giving too. Well, I'm going to give so I can get something back. No, we give because we love God. We serve him because we love God. And yes, he will bless us. Why? Because he loves us. But we don't do it for personal gain. We do it because we love him. Again, our heart, that inner, our spirit, our heart is bent towards his instructions. Father, show me. Again, we've got the Ruach HaKodesh within us. He will give us the wisdom we need in any area of our life. If we need wisdom, it says, you know, James talks about, you know, if anybody lacks wisdom, let them ask of the Father. He will give you that wisdom. You don't have to go to somebody else necessarily. There's nothing wrong with seeking counsel, but he will give us that wisdom. And if that had happened to me so many times on my job, when I'd come upon a situation and I didn't know what to do or how to handle that situation, he gave me the wisdom on how to do it. He gave me the answer. If I just listened long enough, all of a sudden it was there. I knew what to do. Same thing for the ministry. When we seek him, you know, the direction, Father, what do you want us to do? How do you want to do it? And all of a sudden I'll have that knowing in the spirit how and what he wants us to do. Next, Psalm 119, 41 to 48. This begins with the Hebrew letter Vav, which has symbol of completion, redemption, or transformation. It's interesting also, the Vav has a pictorial of a nail. A nail, yeah. The Tav is a cross, but the Vav is that of a nail. May your grace come. Again, bow, that word bow has it both a negative and positive. It can mean come or go. But when we say bow Yeshua, we're saying come Yeshua, come. Bow, come to me, Adonai, your salvation as you promised. We know the Hebrew word salvation means healing, deliverance, prosperity, everything, help, everything that we need in this life to do what he has called us to do. Verse 46. I will speak of your instruction, even to kings, without being ashamed. Hallelujah. Romans 1:6 says that we should not be ashamed of the gospel, the good news of the Messiah. That if God brings us between people, before people of authority, before great people, we are not to tremble, we are not to be fearful, we are to speak boldly his instructions, what God has to say. We are to delight ourselves in his mitzvot, which we have loved. And here he says, I will lift up my hands. Lifting up of the hands is symbolic of submission and also worship to your mitzvot, which I love, and I will meditate on your laws. Psalm 49 to 56 begins with the Hebrew letter Zayin, which is a symbol of spirit, sustenance, and also struggle. He begins with the word remember, Zakar, your promise to your servant through which you have given me hope. You know, there's nothing, again, we see all through the scriptures, the prophets and Moses bringing God in remembrance to him. Father, remember, you said this, and there's nothing wrong with that. Bringing the Father into remembrance. 50, in my distress, my comfort is this, that your promise gives me life. That's why we aren't to focus on our distress. We aren't to focus, just like that word that came forth. We are to focus on his promises and what he has promised for us. Let's look at some scriptures here. 2 Corinthians 1:20 first. Again, some of these aren't in your notes because as I was going through it, I was just getting these scriptures as I was going through it more. So, hallelujah. If you're a note taker, then write it down. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. For however many promises God has made, they all find their yes in connection with him. That is why it is through him that we say the Amen when we give glory to God. Again, in Hebrew, the word Amen means so be it. So be it. 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 1:20. Romans 15:8. For I say that Messiah became a servant of the Jewish people in order to show God's truthfulness by making good his promises to the patriarch, and in order to show his mercy by causing the Gentiles to glorify God, as is written in the Tanakh, because of this I will acknowledge you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. Go to 2 Peter 1:4. Yeah, and the Complete Jewish Bible would be Kepha, but 2 Peter 1:4. For God did not spare the angels who sinned. On the contrary, he put them in gloomy. That's not the one I wanted. Let's see, 2 Peter 1:4. 1:4. I'm looking at 2:4. No wonder that didn't make sense. By these he has given us valuable and superlatively great promises, so that through them you might come to share in God's nature and escape the corruption which evil desires have brought into this world. Again, Torah reveals to us God's nature, his character. And he says, we are to be holy as he is holy. Verse 54, 119:54. Sorry if I'm not keeping up with this scrolling here. Hallelujah. Your laws have become my songs wherever I make my home. I remember your name, Adonai, at night, and I observe your Torah. Again, all that God's name means and holds. He is, again, Yahweh Zavaot. He is Yahweh our Shalom. He is Yahweh our healer. He is Yahweh our deliverer. He is everything that we need in this life. Psalm 119, verses 57 to 64 begins with the letter Het, which is symbolic for divine grace and life. Adonai, I say, again, it begins with Chaleg, which it means smoothness of tongue, allotment, inheritance, and portion. Again, my inheritance or portion, that my task is to observe your words. Verse 59, I thought about my ways and turned my feet toward your instruction. Again, something we are to do. We are to turn our feet, again, symbolic of obedience, to walk in the way he has called us to walk. Verse 60, hurry, I don't delay to observe your mitzvot. Verse 62, at midnight, I rise to give you thanks because of your righteous rulings. We see in Acts 16:25 that it was at midnight that Peter and his, let's look at that, Acts 16, verse 25. I turned right to it that time, hallelujah. Around midnight, Shaul and Sila were praying and singing hymns to God while the other prisoners listened attentively. Suddenly, there was a violent earthquake which shook the prison to its foundation. All the doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer awoke, and when he saw the doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, for he assumed that the prisoners had escaped, but Shaul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." So here, again, at midnight, and they're in this pit of a dungeon. It was like the worst place. It was a hole in the ground, wet, damp. And they were praising God at midnight, just praising him, you know, in being shackled, you know, to these stone walls, you know, and just left there, you know, to die, and yet God delivered them because again, at midnight, at that midnight hour, they worshiped him. Can we worship him at our midnight hour? That's the test of faith. That's the sacrifice of praise. It's easy to praise him when everything is going well. The sacrifice of praise is praising him when you hear a bad report, praising him when it looks like you're not going to be able to pay your bills, praising him when it looks like the doctor's saying, okay, you're going to die in 6 months. You know, it's like praising him in the midst of, again, a bad report. Why? Because he is righteous. He is my Father. He is watching over us. That's the sacrifice of praise. Psalm 165 to 72 begins with the Hebrew letter tet, and that word tet is symbolic of goodness. He says, "You have treated your servant well, tov, good, Adonai, in keeping with your word." Again, I see a pattern with these Hebrew words, a theme that he's going through. He just wasn't throwing the vowels in the front. There's a message he's bringing forth here. "Teach me good, tov, judgment, and knowledge, because I trust in your mitzvot. Before I was humbled, I used to go astray, but now I observe your word." It's a good thing that God humbles us, because a lot of times it wakes us up. Humbling us is mean he brings us correction. You know, here he says, "It was a good thing that you humbled me." Why? "Because I used to go astray." And just, again, just as a parent is going to bring correction to their kids when they see that they're going astray, they're going to bring correction. God is bringing correction to us. I believe in James it says that whom God loves, he corrects. Amen. Chastises, humbles us. And he says, "Before I was humbled, I used to go astray, but now I observe your word." Again, this is Simchat Torah, rejoicing in the Torah. This is what we should be doing every day. And again, being humbled is a good thing. We just celebrated, again, Yom Teruah, a season of humbling ourselves, a season of repenting, a season of looking into our heart and saying, "God, show me ways that aren't pleasing to you. You know, show me those little foxes that are spoiling the vine, those little things that I think are no big deal. Humble me, bring correction to me, so that when we come to Yom Kippur, we are coming to him in true repentance and deliverance. We are entering in, as we were sitting there, I just felt the Ruach was speaking to me, a higher level in the spirit. You're entering into a higher level. And again, we need to go forth, and it's critical that we do everything in our power to bring this word out to people. Because God's heart is to see the lost saved. To see these, you know, men and women. Again, we look at, you know, as believers, it's so easy sometimes. It's like, look at the sin we're in. But you know what? Do you remember the sin you were in? I remember the sin I was in. And thank God somebody had the guts to come up to me on the street and tell me what Yeshua did for me. And again, it was like arrows to my heart. even though my outward countenance probably didn't look like I was receiving it, those words were like arrows in my heart. And he cleansed me and he set me free. If any man is in Messiah, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all has become new. And you know, when the enemy comes to accuse you, when he comes to say, you did this and you did that, because he's the accuser of the brethren. What makes you think God's going to use you? Again, attacking your mind and attacking your mind. You know what you say back to him? I don't know what you're talking about, because that person died so many years ago. I was at their funeral. That person doesn't live anymore. That was me. You're a liar, Satan. Get out of here. Get thee behind me in the name of Yeshua. Why? Because I'm a new creation in him. He made something that the world would have looked at as useless into something useful for his kingdom. And that's every single one of us. Because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. When we're looking at those people, when we're looking at those caught in the sin of homosexuality, those who are caught in the sin of drugs and alcoholism, do we feel the compassion of God and see them how they can be, instead of saying, oh, well, you know what, they're just going to go to hell? No, it's our job to bring them. Now, they have the choice to receive it or not, but we have to let them know, hey, there's a way out. And his name is Yeshua. You don't have to live that way. I was a hairdresser, believe me. I worked with people that were homosexuals every day. I was in that business. I worked on Rush Street. Let me tell you, when I would talk to them, they were not happy. They felt trapped. And I would share the love of God with them. You know, because it's very common in that, you know, that area of work, or even in the arts and stuff. But we, again, have our hearts have become hardened towards the lost. Have our hearts been hardened, like, well, you know, God, you meet my needs, but how about the needs of others? Again, I thank God, because I, you know what? I could have been dead. And I know it was the prayers of my grandmother that was keeping me alive, because she knew God had a call in my life. Same thing with Minister Scott. And I'm sure same thing, if God showed you how many times you could have been gone before you received Yeshua, thank God for his grace and his mercy. But again, we need to humble ourselves. And realize, humble ourselves, that we didn't deserve salvation. He brought it because he loved us. He loved his creation. And from the very beginning, the very moment Adam and Eve fell and really committed high treason against God, God made a way for them immediately. And he didn't have to, but he did. And promised a redeemer. Hallelujah. Verse 68, you are good, Tov, and you do good, Tov, teach me your ways. God is good. He is always good. He is righteous, and his righteous judgments are good. Verse 71, it is for my good, Tov, that I have been humbled. It was so that I would learn your Torah. 72, the Torah you have spoken means more to me than a fortune in gold and silver. You know, where it says, what is a profit man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? The word, his word, his promises are worth more than all the gold and silver this world can afford. Psalm 119, verse 73 to 80. Again, this is the Hebrew word yud, and it's a symbolic of creation. It says, your hands, Yad, which means open, power, means direction, made me and formed me and gave me understanding so I can learn your mitzvot. Hallelujah. Psalm 139, let's just look at Psalm 139 real quick. Beginning with 13, for you fashioned my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I thank you because I am awesomely made. Wonderfully, your works are wonders. I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes could see me as an embryo, put in your book All my days were already written. My days had been shaped before any of them existed. Isn't that, I mean, it's just our creation, how God created us is so awesome that he already put within us in our mother's womb all our gifts, all our talents, our personality, our abilities within the womb, that calling there, so that when we came forth, we would be a blessing. We would be somebody who would add to his creation, add to his world with the gifts that he would put before us. It's like abortion is such an abomination. How many gifts have been destroyed? How many future doctors, scientists, leaders, you know, any area you can think of that God put those gifts in them to make this world a better place were destroyed. Again, it's an abomination to God. How many of us aren't using the gifts that he put within us? Those gifts that he is calling, and every single one of us has a calling and a gift. Stop letting the devil tell you, oh, you know, I can't do what they do, or I can't do what they do. No, God doesn't want you to do what they do, or they do, or they do. He wants you to do what he's called you to do. That gift within you. Hallelujah. That path within you. Verse 75, I know, Adonai, that your rulings are righteous. That even, again, when you humbled me, you are faithful. When God brings us correction, it's for a reason. Because he is faithful, because he wants us to succeed. He wants us to succeed in everything he has called us to do according to his word. We see, let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. Hallelujah. Yeah, Hebrews 12. Or Messianic Jews in the Complete Jewish Bible. 12. Okay. Also, you have forgotten the counsel that which speaks to you as sons. My son, don't despise the discipline of Adonai, or become despondent when he corrects you. For Adonai disciplines those he loves and whips everyone he accepts as a son. Now that sounds pretty harsh, doesn't it? It's a spiritual spanking, so to speak. Okay, it's not like he's taking a whip and beating us. It's a spiritual spanking. Actually, that was in Hebrews. I was thinking James, but it's in the book of Hebrews. Why? Because he loves us and he wants us. He knows the dangers that are out there. He knows it. That if we keep on a path of disobedience, if we keep on a path opposite of his word, it's going to bring destruction to us. So out of his mercy, he humbles us, he corrects us, he gives us a little whack on the rear, spiritual rear, and says, listen, get back, you can't do that, come back to my word. Hallelujah. And then 76, let your grace, chesed, goodness, kindness, comfort me in keeping with your promise to your servant. Verse 80, let my heart be pure in your laws so that I won't be put to shame. Again, that word pure is tamayim, means without spot or undefiled. Again, God wants us, again, Psalm 51 says, create in me a clean heart and renew a white, right spirit within us. We have to stop trying to clean each other's hearts and clean our own hearts. Amen. Keep our hearts pure before him. And again, the battleground is up here in the mind. You need to shut it down in your mind so it doesn't get into your heart. So whenever the enemy comes with, again, thoughts that are contrary to the word, you start speaking forth what the word says, just as Yeshua did in Matthew 4. He spoke the word. He spoke the Torah right back to HaSatan, who knows how to twist scriptures. Psalm 119, 81 to 88 begins with the Hebrew letter kaf, the symbolic of bent, palm of the hand, because the kaf looks, it's a bent, it's like the palm of the hand. Container, it also means container or productivity. He says, I am dying, kara, bring, which means to bring completion or consummate, to know your salvation. Please, so in other words, bring completion to know your salvation, which is Teshua, and also in some verses it's Yeshua, which means deliverance, help, safety, victory, rescue. Why? For my hope is in your word. That is Psalm 119:81.
Oh.
Again, he holds us. I don't know exactly where the scripture is, but it talks about he holds us in the palm of his hands, that we are inscribed upon his hands. Verse 88, in keeping with your grace, again, that's the Hebrew word chesed, goodness and kindness, revive me and I'll observe your spoken instructions. You know, a lot of times people who, again, misunderstand Torah, they say, oh, there's no grace in the Torah. That's all legalism. That's you know, a prison. You know, all the grace is, the graces is in the New Testament. You know what? Grace is all through the scripture. In fact, there's more grace even. Yeshua is the manifestation of the grace that's in the Tanakh. His grace, he showed his grace from the very beginning. He showed his grace to us when we were still sinners because he knew the call upon our lives. He knew that, you know, that we're deep in our heart, that we were those who would respond to him. You know, and I thank God again for his chesed, his goodness, and his kindness. He's always, again, all through the Tanakh, you see that word, chesed, grace. Psalm 119:89-96 begins with the Hebrew letter, lamed, means teaching and purpose. Your word contains forever. That word forever is olam. That's actually in the Hebrew, this verse begins with olam, which means beyond temporal or eternal. Adonai firmly fixed in heaven. Another, your word is eternal. It's forever. It's never going to stop. 90, your faithfulness through all generations, you establish the earth and it stands. You know, did you ever look at, I'm sure you see the universe and they show all the planets and the earth and you see this beautiful blue ball in the midst of all these planets that are just desolate. Well, those planets are put there for a purpose. They're protecting the earth. They're protecting the earth from meteors and things that are bombarding the earth. God knew what he was doing. The sun is exactly where it needs to be. We're not too close, we're not too far. If we were too close, we'd burn up. If we were too far, we'd freeze up. It's exactly, and here you see this beautiful blue ball. And again, you look at it and God knows exactly where I live. He knows exactly what I'm thinking. In the midst of billions of people, he knows each and every one of us intimately and perfectly. To me, that just puts me in awe. Yeah, Pat? Mm-hmm.
And I said it to him, you know that he remembered the time that you know that they were born again, but he had not been certain God all these years ago. And I know, I've got no idea in my heart, that really provided him. And because he kept telling me, thank you.
Amen.
So I know that really helped him, and he was saved by the time he got
him. Amen. He is faithful. Again, 90, your faithfulness through all generations. God has been completely faithful to his covenant.
Yes.
We're the ones who haven't been faithful. God has always been faithful to his covenant. This is from the very beginning with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He did not forget that covenant, and he still has not forgotten that covenant. He is faithful. He is faithful to his word. He is watching over his word to perform it in our life. We can hold fast to those promises. Why, Father, you are faithful. You said this, and I believe it. You are faithful to me. It doesn't matter what it looks like, that you are always there for me through every generation. Just as you are faithful to me, I believe you're going to be faithful to my children and to my children's children. Because that seed, that word has been planted in their hearts. He established the earth and it stands. Psalm 92, if your Torah had not been my delight, I would have perished in my distress. What would we do if we didn't have his word to turn to and his promises to cling to? Again, when the world is in distress, why? Because if they don't know Yahweh, if they don't know Yeshua, they don't know the word, they have no hope. They have nothing to cling to. They have nothing to hold on to. That's why we need to bring them that word. His word gives us hope. His word gives us joy. When we're depressed, start worshiping him. Because again, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Start reading his word. His word should bring joy to our heart. 94, verse 94, I am yours, save me, that was Yashab, preserve, rescue me, because I seek your precepts. We don't know how many times God has rescued us. You know, I believe in angels, and people that don't believe in angels don't know the word, because they are sent as messengers. They are sent to, again, to protect and work with the righteous. I don't have to see them to know they exist. I don't have to see them to know that God is using them to protect us, using them to do battle for us, using them in the heavenlies. Hallelujah. Verse 96, I see the limits of all perfection, but your mitzvot has no bounds. There is no limit to your word. Yes, in the natural, a lot of times we are limited, but there is no limit to God's word. There is no limit to how he can work in our lives through his word if we trust him. If we seek him, if we yield ourselves to him. Psalm 119, 97 to 104 begins with the Hebrew word mem. Mem, again, is symbolic of water, also revealed Torah, and closed Torah are secrets, sowed. Again, Paul referred to these as mysteries, things that are hidden but are revealed in God's timing. Again, a lot of prophetic words, a lot of prophecies. In the word, some of their meaning is hidden. We don't quite understand them until the time is for them to be revealed. And when they're revealed, we understand them. How ma, I love your Torah. I meditate on it all day. When it is hidden in our heart, we can meditate on it all day. We can think about it all day. In fact, we're living in a time, again, back in the times of the Tanakh, the ancient Israelites, they memorized that word because they didn't each have their own personal Torah to carry around. They hid that and they passed that word orally on to their children and their children's children. Can you imagine that? They knew that word. They memorized that word until eventually it was put down in writing, and praise God that it did. You know, but again, they memorized that word. When that word is in your heart, all of a sudden you could be driving. You could be, you know, just, you know, doing something around the house, and that word will come forth and start speaking to you, or a psalm or a song. Have you ever walked? Sometimes I'll walk around and I'll start singing the Hebrew prayers, and it'll just be on my heart to start just singing it. What? Amen. It's God speaking to us again, meditating in our heart. And what is the result of this? We are wiser than our foes because your mitzvot are mine forever. God gives us wisdom above our foes. We have more understanding than all our teachers because we meditate on your instruction. Great scripture for kids in school. Thank you, Father. You give me understanding above my teachers. Why? Because I love your Torah and I meditate on it. We have understanding more than our elders because we keep your precepts. Again, wisdom. You keep my feet from every evil way in order to observe your word. He protects our paths. He guides us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We don't turn away from your rulings because you have instructed us. How sweet to my tongue is your promise, truly sweeter than honey in my mouth. Want to satisfy your sweet tooth? Go to the word. Hallelujah. From your precepts, I gain understanding. That is why I hate every false way. Amen. When we know the way of God, we aren't going to be in agreement with evil. We are going to hate evil. We are going to detest evil. We are going to stand against it and stand for righteousness. Psalm 119, 105 to 112 begins with the Hebrew letter Nun, which is symbolic of faithfulness and Adonai on his throne. Your word is a lamp near, again, beginning with noon, a light for my feet and a light on my path. His word gives us illumination and direction. If we don't know which way to go, he will enlighten us. He will show us. He will give us that revelation. Verse 108. Please accept. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm focusing on what I'm teaching. It's okay. I emailed the notes to everybody anyway, so. But anyway, I apologize to those that are listening. Hallelujah. That's okay. So let's look at a couple psalms. Psalm 19, 14, and then 51, 15. Psalm 19, 14. Again, this isn't in your notes. These are just things that I added as I was studying. Beginning with verse, actually the Complete Jewish Bible is numbered a little different, but who can discern unintentional sins? Cleanse me from hidden faults. Also keep your servant from presumptuous sins so that they won't control me. Then I will be blameless and free of great offense. And then go to Psalm 51. Verse 15. Adonai, open my lips, then my mouth will praise you. For you don't want sacrifices, or I would give them. You don't take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice to Yahweh is a broken spirit. God, you won't spurn a broken or a chastised heart. And then Hosea 14, verse 2. Let's go to that real quick. I'm going to read it from the here it says, take words with you and return. Again, that word return is shuvah, return, to go back to Yahweh. Say to him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, that we may present the fruit of our lips. Hallelujah. You know, I've got a sign in my office. Father, put your arms around my shoulder and your hands over my mouth. We want the fruit of our lips to be righteous fruit. You know, there's a saying, loose lips sink ships, or wrong words can sink our ship. We need to make sure that our words are in agreement with his word, because words are powerful. The words we speak are powerful. And we need to guard our mouth. Verse 111 and 112, I take your instruction as a permanent heritage because it is the joy of my heart. I have resolved to obey your laws forever at every step. And Psalm 119, 113 to 120 begins with the Hebrew letter samach, which means, which has a symbolic of support, protection, and memory. Here he says, I hate the double-minded. That is the word sa'af. Means divided or skeptic people, but I love your Torah. James 1, let's go to Yaakov, James 1, 5 and 8. See, if we had the same Bible, all I would say is, okay, page number. Hallelujah. Yeah, but, hallelujah. Let me get there, second. Towards the back here. Okay, let me move this forward here again. I'm sorry, I'm not. Verses 5 to 8, chapter 1, 5 to 8. Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in trust, doubting nothing, for the doubter is like a wave in the sea, be tossed and driven by the wind. Indeed, that person should not think that he will receive anything from the Lord, because he is double-minded, unstable in all his ways. If you are double-minded about his promises, you aren't going to stand, because one minute you're believing them, and then the circumstance that comes that contrary to the word, you don't believe them. You're going back and forth. You need to be focusing. I will not be double-minded. Father, thank you that your word is true. I don't care what things look like. Your word is true. I do not want to be double-minded. Again, James Yaakov brings this up. Verse 114, you are my hiding place and shield. I put my hope in your word. We see that in Psalm 91 and Psalm 37 and Psalm 27. Again, the secret place is in him. The secret place is hiding in his word, hiding in his obedience, being obedient to him. And again, Psalm 91 starts with the prerequisite of abiding in his presence. You have to abide in his presence first. You have to abide in him. And when you abide in him and you abide in his word, he is your hiding place. Psalm 116, uphold me as you promised. Again, that word samach, support as you promised, and I will live. Don't disappoint me in my hope. I think Proverbs says, hope deferred makes the soul sick. We need that hope. We need our hope, that hope in his word. Psalm 117, support me. Again, that word samach, support me, and I will be saved, always putting my attention on your Torahs. Verse 120, my body trembles for fear. That word bachad means awe of your rulings. Make me afraid. Again, we have to have an awe of who he is, that he is Yahweh. He is, yes, he loves us, but we are also to treat him with respect and awe when we come into his presence. Let me pull this forward here. Psalm 119, 121 to 128. It begins with the Hebrew letter Ayin. Ayin is symbolic of eyes, sight, insight. He says, I have done, asah means to do, to accomplish what is just and right. Don't abandon me to my oppressors. Verse 123, my eyes fail from watching for your salvation. Again, as I've been studying the psalm and looking at the Hebrew, and even that Hebrew letter means eyes, and he goes on, what's he talking about? Eyes. My eyes fail from watching for your salvation and for your righteous promises. Why? Because he's longing. He's looking for it. He's straining his eyes towards it. Father, I'm looking for, I want to see that your salvation and your righteous promise. What is that righteous promise? The rule and reign of Messiah here upon the earth, the restoration of all of Israel, the restoration of the rule and reign of Yahweh upon the earth. Verse 24, deal with your servants in accordance with your grace. Again, chesed. And teach me your laws, or Torahs. 127, 128. Therefore, I love your mitzvot more than gold and more than fine gold. Thus, I direct my steps. Again, direct and precepts. Direct my steps, walking in the way. Precepts, guide for the redeemed. And every false way I hate. Psalm 119, 129. It was interesting when I was looking at this in the Hebrew. In the English, it has instruction and then wonder, but in the Hebrew, it starts with the word pele, which is marvelous, a wonder, and then follows by yudut, testimony. So again, if you read it from the Hebrew, it would say, marvelous or a wonder is your testimony, your instruction and testimonies. Verse 30, your words are a doorway that lets in light, giving understanding to the thoughtless. That's why when we minister to people, we speak the word, because as we're speaking the word, it's giving light to them. Our opinion doesn't give light to people. It's the word that brings light. It's the word, as we're speaking the word, that word is doing the work. Why? Because it is God speaking to them and bringing conviction upon them and bringing, giving them the light that they need to get saved, to get redeemed, so that they can have the full light to walk in. Giving understanding to the thoughtless. Psalm 119, 131 to 36. Again, my mouth, again, pay, my mouth is wide open as I pant with longing for your mitzvot. Turn to me and show me your favor in keeping with judgment for those who love your name. Guide my steps by your word. Don't let any kind of sin rule me. Redeem me from human oppression, and I will observe your mitzvot. Again, verse 132, we see, says, show me your favor. When we say the Aaronic blessing found in number 6, that's what we are receiving, his favor. Now let's just look at number 6 really quick. Beginning with verse 22, Adonai said to Moshe, speak to Aaron and his sons and tell them that this is how you are to bless the people of Israel. You are to say to them, may Adonai bless you and keep you. May Adonai make his face shine on you and show you favor. May Adonai lift up his face towards you and give you his peace. It's because he looks upon us that we have his favor. You know, when we go out, if we're looking for jobs, we can pray, Father, give me favor. Why? Because I am your child and your favor shines upon me. You know, and give me favor to those that you have opened the doors for me to have favor with. Psalm 119, 137 to 144 begins with the Hebrew word zadik. It means righteousness and humility. Again, you are righteous, the Hebrew zadik, just, lawful, righteous. Adonai and your rulings are upright. Verse 38, you have commanded your instructions in righteousness and with great faithfulness. Again, you see the theme. Zadik means righteousness. What is he talking about? Righteousness in this section. Verse 42, your righteousness is eternal righteousness and your Torah is truth. And verse 144, your instruction is righteous forever. Give me understanding and I will live. Then Psalm 145 to 152 begins with the Hebrew letter Kof. Again, each of these verses begins with that Hebrew letter. It refers to holiness and also growth cycles. You know, our holy moedim, they're growth cycles. Every time we come to Shabbat, we are growing spiritually. Every time we observe the holy times, the feasts, the fall feast and the spring feast, we are growing spiritually in our understanding of who we are and our understanding of who our Father is. Wholeheartedly, I am calling, again, that is the word karav, to call, to declare, to summon, to be invoked on you. Answer me, Adonai. I keep your Torahs. I am calling on you. Save me, and I will observe your instruction. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I put my hope in your word. My eyes are open before the night watches so that I can meditate on your promises. Again, as we call upon him, as we spend time in prayer, as we spend time in his presence, we are going to grow in holiness as well. Verse 51, you are close by, Adonai, and all your mitzvot is true. Isn't it comforting to know that he is only a prayer away? He is right here in his word. He is right here. He is, again, he is so awesome. He is so eternal that he can, that we, each and every one of us, has his undivided attention. To me, that is mind-boggling when you think about it. Psalm 119, 153 to 160 begins with the Hebrew word rush, which stands for a first, head, chief. He begins the word with the Hebrew word ra'ah, look, see, with your eyes give attention at my distress and rescue me, for I do not forget your Torah. Plead my cause and redeem me in keeping with your promise, revive me. We can come to him in times of trouble. We can come to him and ask him to rescue us. Rescue us that maybe are falsely accusing us or falsely slandering us or falsely, you know, harassing us. Great is your compassion, Adonai, in keeping with your rulings. Revive me. Verse 59 and 60. See how I love your precepts. Adonai, in keeping with your grace, Hesed, revive me. The main thing about your word is that it's true and all your rulings last forever. Whenever we have a doubt about his word, you know, we're saying to God, I don't think your word's true. I don't think your promises are true. Because that's what the enemy does. He comes with doubt. He did that from the very beginning. His mode of operation has never changed. What is the first thing he said to Eve? Did God really say? Again, putting doubt in what God had said. And they believed the doubt instead of the goodness of God that they already knew. So we need to shut down doubt. Psalm 119, 161 begins with the letter Shin, which is divine power, indicates the Holy One and also his shalom. We also call Yeshua the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. But here he's talking about leaders and chief princes, Sars, who are coming against him and persecuting him for no reason. Again, we're living in a time where believers and Jews are being persecuted for no reason, just because they are Jews and Christians. You know, it's like we're not out burning down buildings. We're not out causing problems. We're trying to, you know, help people come to know to the truth, yet without reason we are being persecuted. I take joy in your promise like someone who finds much booty. I love how it says, it's like, okay, how much would you rejoice if you found $1 million? You'd be like, oh, woo! That's how we should be rejoicing much more than that in his word, because this is worth more than $1 million. Hallelujah. I hate falsehood. I detest it, but I love your Torah. Again, falsehood goes for any teachings that go forward that are against the word. There are people out there that, quote, call themselves Christians. I'm not talking about every believer, but speak again contrary to the word. Say things, calling things holy, sinful, and so calling things sinful holy. We should, again, hate falsehood, hate anything that is contrary to the word. I praise you 7 times a day because of your righteous rulings. 7 is the number of completion, with complete praise every day. I praise you. Those who love your Torah have great shalom. Nothing makes them stumble. When you have the word in your heart, when you know that God's word is true and his promises are true, nothing's going to shake you. No evil reports. No plague or pestilence, because God said he would protect us from that. Nothing that is happening on the earth should shake us, because we have the peace and shalom inside, and we know that in the end, God is going to, he wins already. He's won already. You know, this is all things that have to happen for, you know, that final judgment's going to come, but ultimately, his rule and reign will be fully upon the earth. Verse 66, I hope for your deliverance, Adonai. I obey your mitzvot. Why he can hope for deliverance? Because he's obedient. My soul observes your instructions. So I love it so much. Your soul is like your mind, your will, your emotions. I observe your precepts and instructions, for all my ways lie open before you. Again, we are an open book before God. We can fool others, but we can't fool him. He knows what's going on within us. He knows where we're hurting. He knows where we've taken, you know, those hurts, those pains, that rejection deep down within us that we won't let go of. And he says, I want to free you. I want to deliver you. I want to set you free. Stop holding on to those things that I've redeemed you from. My soul observes your instruction. I love it so much. I observe your precepts and instruction, for all my ways, again, lie open before you. Last, Psalm 119, 169 to 176, ends with the Hebrew word tav, which means truth and perfection. Let my cry come before you, kara, to come near, approach, draw near. Adonai, in keeping with your word, give me understanding. Let my prayer come before you, in keeping with your promise, rescue me. Let my lips speak praise, because you teach me your Torahs. Let my tongue sing of your promise, because of all your mitzvot are righteous. Let your hand be ready to help me, because I choose your precepts. I long for your deliverance, Adonai, and your Torah is my delight. Let me live, and I will praise you. Let your rulings help me. I strayed like a lost sheep. Seek out your servant, for I do not forget your mitzvot. Again, Yeshua refers to himself as a good shepherd. Go to John 10. We're going to end with these scriptures and some scriptures in Psalm. Again, talking about, this is the parable of the good shepherd. I'll begin with verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up the other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he put forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of the strangers. Again, Yeshua also talks about if you have 99 sheep, but one goes astray, he says, you go after that stray one. That's, God goes after the strays. He wants to bring the strays home. Let's look at Psalm. Let's begin with Psalm 78. We're going to read four Psalms. And then we're going to end with the Torah readings. Psalm 78, verse 52. But he led forth his own people like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And then 79, verse 13. So we, your people, and the sheep of your pasture, we give thanks to you forever. To all generations, we will tell you of your praise. And then Psalm 95, verses 7 and 8. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts at Meribah, as in the day of Massa in the wilderness. When your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they had seen my work. So again, here, we are his sheep, but we have to guard our hearts to not harden them. We need our hearts soft. Why? So we can hear his voice. Every believer has the ability to hear his voice. People that criticize people, that when people say, you know, I really feel God spoke to my heart, and they mock them, don't know God because they're speaking contrary to the word. God speaks to his people. He speaks to every single one of us through his word, through his spirit. It would be very sad if he didn't speak to us. We need to hear his voice daily. We need to hear his direction daily. Why? Yeshua says, my sheep hear my voice. So what does it mean? His sheep can hear his voice. His sheep, he talks to us through his word and through the Ruach. Psalm 100, verse 3. I'm going to end with this, and then we're going to end with the Torah readings, which are short, actually. Know that Yahweh himself is Elohim. It is he who has made us and not ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And again, because we are his sheep, if we stray, he is going to take his shepherd's crook. And again, that's what when a shepherd's crook has that rounded edge, it's to pull the sheep out of danger, to grab them and pull them out of danger. He will grab us and pull us out of danger. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you for your word. Father, I thank you that your word speaks to our hearts, that you speak to our hearts, and that you are watching over your word to perform it. Father, as we end this Torah cycle and enter into a new Torah cycle, Father, a beginning again from the very beginning, Bereshit. Father, that you, Father, would give us greater revelation, greater insight, and that we would be even more obedient, Father, to walk in your mitzvah, walk in your Torahs, Father, to be obedient to do what you have called us to do, Father. We want to be, Father, useful in the kingdom. We don't want to lay dormant. We want to stir up those gifts within us, Father, so that when our time is, Father, to leave this earth, when our mission has been accomplished, that we'll hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy, the rest of your master." We praise you and thank you, Father. Let's go to Deuteronomy 33. Actually, 33 it is the blessings for all the tribes. I'm going to have different people share because my voice is really dry right now, worn out. Yeah. Okay, Deuteronomy 33. And actually, these blessings are prophetic words over the tribes. And then we'll read 34, and then we will go back to Genesis, Bereshit. I'll begin, I'll read the first 10, and Minister Scott, you want to read the next 10, and then Joshua, the rest? Okay. Now this is the blessing which Moshe, the man of God, blessed the sons of Israel before his death. He said, "The Lord came from Sinai and dawned on them from Seir. He shone forth from Mount Paran, and he came from the midst of 10,000 holy ones. At his right hand there was flashing lightning for them. Indeed, he loves the people. All your holy ones are in your hand, and they followed in your steps. Everyone receives your words. Moshe charged us with the Torah, a possession for the assembly of Yaakov. And he was a king in Yeshurun when the heads of the people were gathered, the tribes of Israel together. May Reuben live and not die, nor his men be few. And this regarding Judah, or Yehuda, so he said, 'Hear, O Lord, the voice of Yehuda, and bring him to his people. With his hands he contended for them, and you may be a help against his adversaries.' Of Levi he said, 'Let your Thummim and your Urim belong to your godly man, whom you proved at Massah, with whom you contended at the waters of Meribah, who said of his father and his mother, I did not consider them. He did not acknowledge his brothers, nor did he regard his own sons, for they observed your word and kept your covenant. And they shall teach your ordinances to Jacob and your law to Israel, and they shall put incense before you and whole burnt offerings on your altar.'"
Yahweh blessed his substance and accepted the work of his hand, shattered the lines of those who rise up against him, and those who pay him and may not rise against him. But Benjamin, he said, may the beloved of Yahweh dwell in security by him, shields him all.